affiliates, head-on communications in 1 minute. Mark. Affiliates, head on with Bob Kincaid in 30 seconds. Mark.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Good evening. 6.5 minutes after 7 o'clock here in the wild, wonderful hills of West Virginia. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the nightly dust up we like to call Head On. Great to have you on board this evening. I'm thrilled to death to be here as ever. You know, it, I get the feeling it was a tough day to be a Republican today. Just an all-around rough day in the halls of Congress. It all started, it's safe to say that this is an entire political party that got up on the wrong side of the bed this morning. It all started with Orrin Hatch. He walked into the Senate, you know, you'd swear he still had his bedroom slippers on. And cranky. I guess there was some discussion of the fact that Dear Leader and big-time Dick Cheney are finally getting called out for their filthy lies. And Orrin didn't like it, doggone it.
Listen to you, and I'd be happy to take a question. But let me finish my remarks. I didn't come here to talk about this. It's just that I got a little bit upset at listening to this type of what I consider to be political talk. Which we have all too much of on this stinking floor. This wonderful floor, I guess I better say. Because it is a privilege to be here.
Well, he went a little funny in the head. You know, just a little funny.
Yeah. A little cranky funny. This stinking floor. Where's your good Mormon manners there, Orrin, buddy? I guess the noose is getting a little tight around their necks. Oh, cranky, 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 all that. My God, if my wife had been there, she would have sent them all down for a nap. They were so cranky. You know how they get, kind of red-rimmed around the eyes and a little droopy, and then the nastiness starts. The Republican Party does not like what is happening today. Among other things, you know, the nasty bill that was going to cut student aid and Medicare and education funding, all of that, that it was the centerpiece. Oh my God, it was an absolute masterpiece of Republican hatefulness, and they were going to pass it today. Well, a little something different is apparently going on in Congress. Legislation to fund many of the nation's health, education, and social programs went down to a startling defeat in the House today. Democrats led the charge, reaching deep and finding spine. 224 to 209 against the $142.5 billion bill that it contained such nastiness as, well, you know, hacks into No Child's Behind left. And as I mentioned, Medicare, Medicaid, Pell Grants, heating assistance for low-income families. And Nancy Pelosi did remark that it was a tremendous defeat for the Republicans. However, and I didn't see the final tally, but early indications were that even though it was a hateful, vicious, mean-spirited bill, Shelley Moron Capito, the second district congressperson from West Virginia, intended to get her knee pads on and go and do what Bush and Tom DeLay pay her to do. God, she's sickening. So there was that, which was enough to make for a bad day. But over in the Senate, all kinds of spine was displayed. Harry Reid came out and shooting loaded for bear, so to speak, and laid it straight, right, just bang, right there on the table.
The deceiving, dividing, and distorting must end. Of course, this is the same move we've seen from Karl Rove and Dick Cheney time and time and time again. Whenever their poll numbers sink, they go back on the attack. This time, though, I think, Mr. President, the stakes are too high to let them get away with it.
Exactly, Harry. Good job. Good job. Because, as we noted, Dick Cheney put on his tuxedo and looked for all the world like Danny DeVito playing the Penguin in that one god awful Batman movie. Stood up and growled into the microphone about what he was going to do to the Democrats who dared challenge his lies. Haben Sie gehört, hatten geworden sein? Sieg Heil! Sieg Heil! Sieg Heil! And Harry just got up this morning and said, Oh, no, he didn't. And laid it on him. Check this out. The curtain has been drawn back, and the evil has been named. Next thing you know, we'll be casting out demons in the Senate.
The lives of our brave soldiers in Iraq depend on this president coming clean and coming forward with a plan for Iraq. President Bush, Vice President Cheney, and Karl Rove must stop the orchestrated attack campaign they launched on Veterans Day. It's a weak, spineless display of politics at a time of war.
Well, although you got to ask, what does Harry expect out of them? I mean, we're talking about a guy that, in Dick Cheney, that was such a low-down, dirty, gotta-climb-up-to-look-a-snake-in-the-eye coward that he got 5 deferments in college to keep from serving his country when his country needed him. You know, and had the unmitigated gall to say, I had other priorities at the time. Really, Dick? Other priorities? Such as, well, like not getting my ass shot off in Vietnam. That was a big priority for me. And, of course, we all know the illustrious career of Dear Leader. But they are shameless, and they are spineless. And finally, I think Harry Reid and several other Democrats are figuring out what I've been trying to say all along about the stump licker bunch. These are a bunch of mean, hateful, pig-eyed, red-rimmed-eyed rednecks. And just like any bully, if you'll just stand up and put one right square on their nose, they cry and they run away. Look at us. Look at them crying now. And remember, remember when George was in the debates about a year ago? Being president's hard work. Remember that? Harry does.
It's easy to attack, Mr. President. The hard part is leading, coming clean with the American people, and giving our troops a strategy for success.
Yeah, notice that? The hard part is leading. That's hard work. It's hard work. And they've been called on it today. It's obvious that although it may be hard work, dear leader, doesn't care to do. So all of that is out there, and God knows there's ever so much more. It's about a quarter past the hour. Let's take a break and come back and hammer on them some more. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
In a small cottage lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer when it's most treatable is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or a terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Understand, you can fool with your brother, but don't mess with him.
Welcome back. Coming up on 20 minutes after the hour, this is Head On. A reminder of the phone numbers, 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366. Of course, locally, 304-658-3333 is the number. And you can reach us at bob@headonradio.com. Also, Agnes, A-G-N-E-S, @headonradio.com. See how easy it is? So, let's see. Where to go? Now, let's see. There were some dandy remarks by Ted Kennedy today. Also, compelling remarks by a man named John Murtha, a congressman named John Murtha. He's been a member of Congress for quite some time. He's a Democrat. And he had a little press conference today. Now, this guy is he's one of those Sergeant Blood types. I think he was in the military for some 34 years. And he cares about the military like old veterans tend to care about the military. None of this lip service from a bunch of chicken hawks. In fact, the fact of the matter is, John Murtha, Jack to his buddies, is a war hawk. He walks the walk, he talks the talk, because he's been down the road. He's not a coward like Cheney or Wolfowitz or God knows Bush or Condoleezza Rice, who can commit murder in $3,000 Ferragamo pumps. He's the real deal. And he was behind the Iraq War. He bought into the stupidity. He bought into the lies. And got behind it and did everything he could to support the troops. And for him, the scales fell away from his eyes today. And by that, I mean in the press release that he issued and the press conference that he had, he said it pretty simply, we got to get out.
Of the members of Congress. The United States and coalition troops have done all they can in Iraq, but it's time for a change in direction. Our military is suffering. The future of our country is at risk. We cannot continue on the present course.
No, we can't. And when a man like John Murtha figures it out, you know, an old blood and guts type, when a man like John Murtha, who has been there, who has heard shots fired in anger, unlike the vast majority of the chicken hawks on the disgusting Republican right, when he says there is trouble afoot, listen carefully, because he's for real.
Now let me tell you, we spend more money on intelligence than all the countries in the world put together, and more on intelligence than most countries' GDP. And when they say it's a world intelligence failure, it's a U.S. intelligence failure.
Our failure is the world's failure, and vice versa. Pay attention, Republicans. This is the voice of experience speaking. Well, I tell you what. Let's go to the phones. I hate to keep anybody waiting. Hey, Jim, you're Head On.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing good. You?
How's Andy Lewis?
Ah, well, just Andy.
I saw Representative Murtha today, and I thought it was pretty interesting.
Pretty stirring, wasn't it?
Well, the scales didn't fall from his eyes. They hit the floor with a great amount of thunder.
Yeah, they clanged.
And so, basically, he pointed some things out. For example, he said the number of incidents with IEDs has grown from 150 a week to 750 a week.
Yeah.
And our Army basically had $50 billion worth of bad equipment that had to be replaced, radios, whatever equipment is necessary.
Right.
And, you know, he was very specific. And, you know, he drove a spear right into their side. I don't see how they can argue with that.
Oh, I'm sure they will. But the fact, I mean, this has been a spendthrift war. You got to understand, Jim. We've got this ugly little habit. You know, if a tire blows on a truck, we park the truck and leave it for the looters.
Well, that's just kind of wasteful. And what I liked the most about his speech this afternoon was the fact that he pointed to the five deferment leader.
Yeah.
And he just let him have it right between the eyes.
Well, he kind of, in fact, I've got that. You know, this whole thing that Dick Cheney's out there doing now, and they always say, well, you're hurting the troops. And he spoke to that straight up. Got it right here.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. With friends like Cheney, don't need any enemies.
Well, that's true. Check it out. We've got it, somewhere. Here
I've
it is.
Been visiting our wounded troops of Bethesda and Walter Reed, as some of you know. And what demoralizes them is not the criticism. What demoralizes them is going to war with not enough troops and equipment to make the transition to peace. The devastation caused by IEDs is what they're concerned about. Being on their second or third deployment, leaving their families behind without a network of support.
Yeah, those are some real grievances, aren't they, Jim?
Yes, they are.
And so, you know, hearing the crocodile tears from big-time Dick Cheney that, you know, oh, it's the Democrat traitors, I don't think that's going to wash with America anymore. I think Harry Reid's right.
Well, a man like Cheney has no place of visiting a place of honor like Walter Reed Hospital.
And do you think he ever has? More than once, maybe twice?
And neither does Bush. I mean, these men have never worn the uniform. They've never done anything except, well, they one of them did, but not very, very...
honorably?
Or honorably, no.
Well, consider what he did on Veterans Day. That still sticks in my craw, and my dear old dad is still mad about it.
Well, he has every right to be.
Bush didn't dare show his ugly mug at Arlington. Instead, he goes off to Toby Hanna, Pennsylvania, and does that political hatchet speech that doesn't even bother to mention so much as a single the sacrifice of a single veteran. Do we need much more to show that, you know, these people are superficial in what they say about supporting the troops?
Know, where was Bush when a 4th-5 Hurricane was bearing down on New Orleans? He was out there somewhere in the Midwest. Where is it, Las Vegas?
Oh, no, he was at San Diego, and he was cutting birthday cake with John McCain in Arizona.
And then he was going on an anti-social security tirade.
Right.
And, you know, he wasn't even around when he knew that that hurricane was going to probably hit New Orleans.
Exactly.
And, you know, he, no matter how many times he visits afterwards, I mean, you know, he missed his opportunity right there and showed what kind of concern he really has for people. They don't care about anybody but themselves.
Of course not.
And their rich friends and how they can make some more money for them.
That's exactly it. Jim, always good to talk to you.
Okay.
Have a great evening.
Hey, later.
Bye now. All right, quick break, and when we come back, I've got some more John Murtha for you. He had some strong medicine for the chicken hawks today, and I have a feeling it went down mighty bitter. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, on yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and coast guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he a... Nureyev. Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs? Sure about that? Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh?
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he a guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
I'm just a kid.
I'm six.
I'm nine.
I'm four and a half.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Because mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Almost level, West Virginia. We lose more by law here than if they use a gun. Strip mine roads, ruin my home, all the places I belong. West Virginia, stripped off mama, where's my home, my country road? All my memories within her, Massey's run off, poison in the water, black and filthy, mercury in the sky, poison taste of arsenic, fly ash in my eye, strip mine road.
Welcome back. Well, let's see. 25 and a half minutes before the hour. Let's get back to the John Murtha story issue. Quick email. A bit of opinion. Bet he has dogs, hunts in season. Talking about John Murtha. And brings all his hounds home if he can. A bit of a hard fact, our ability to train Iraqis has been outstripped by the insurgents' ability to set charges. Yeah, exactly. And John Murtha was, I've not been a fan of this guy. He's more than willing to get out there and have himself a dandy little war. But he also seems to be committed to the notion that if you're going to have yourself a war, it's in your nation's best interest to do it for the right reasons, at the right time, and do it the right way. And the way we've done Iraq, according to John Murtha, it's wearing us thin.
Has caused huge shortfalls in our bases at home. I've been to three bases in the United States, and each one of them were short of things they need to train the people going to Iraq. Much of our ground equipment is worn out, and I've told the CEOs of big companies, you better get in the business of rehabilitating equipment, because we're not going to be able to buy any new equipment because the money's not going to be there.
Yeah, it's not. And he went on to talk about the fact that, he's never seen the likes of a nation sustaining a war for as long as we have with no sacrifice on the part of the general population. He noted, and I think accurately, that the entire sacrifice for this war is being borne on the backs of military families. Go back to cut three. It is military families.
I've been visiting our wounded troops of Bethesda and Walter Reed, as some of you know. And what demoralizes them is not the criticism. What demoralizes them is going to war with not enough troops and equipment to make the transition to peace.
Now listen.
The devastation caused by IEDs is what they're concerned about. Being on their second or third deployment, leaving their families behind without a network of support.
Exactly. There are people, there are families that have literally collapsed. You know, we ask our soldiers, our sailors, our Marines, our airmen. We ask them to be willing to stand up and die. But you gotta really ask yourself what kind of nation asks the families at home to be the only ones bearing the brunt of a war. With this war, we are become a nation of sunshine patriots. A nation of people who think that if they just slap that stupid plastic Chinese yellow ribbon magnet on the back of their SUV... you know where my mind was heading. On the back of their SUV, that everything's okay and that they're patriotic. That if they just listen to that stupid Toby Keith song about putting a boot somewhere a couple of more times, that by golly, they're real, true, blue, red-blooded Americans. And they're not. And they're not. A couple of days ago, the head of the Disabled American Veterans came out and lambasted dear leader for the inattention that he's shown to the maimed people that he has gotten sent back, minus arms, minus legs, minus minds, because the money isn't there. And even with all the money that we've spent, John Murtha couldn't help but point out that even the reconstruction's not going so well.
Unemployment is 60%. Clean water is scarce, and they only spent $500 million of the $2.2 billion appropriated for water projects.
60% unemployment. Now, I know that out there in that weird little hard, snaky knot of people who still support George Bush, you'll still hear, well, why aren't they telling the happy news about Iraq? Well, you know, how much happy news can there be when people who in former days in Iraq used to be surgeons, used to be biologists, used to be upstanding members of the community, are reduced to being taxi drivers for the occupiers? And that's the 40% who are employed. According to Congressman Murtha, there was $2.2 billion appropriated for water projects. $500 million of it has been spent. Where the hell is the other $1.7 billion? Well, an affidavit was unsealed today indicating that an American with control over several construction groups has been outed for paying bribes to get construction contracts from the Coalition Provisional Authority. And, of course, you remember the $9 billion that just sort of shook out of Paul Bremer's pockets into the sofa of the Coalition Provisional Authority. He got a Presidential Medal of Freedom for that, sunshine.
Yeah. Yeah,
it did. No, it's the reconstruction's not working. The water projects, okay. Electricity, Sewers, It's a war that never should have been started. But the sad thing is, this war was started by a person who could, in the vernacular of Southern West Virginia, screw up a one-car funeral. And God knows this funeral's so much more than one car. Ben's with us. Hey, Ben, you're head on.
Hey there, Bob.
How's it going?
I'm going pretty good. Going pretty good. Hopefully my dog will continue to sleep and not start barking. He's established this bad habit of when I'm talking on the phone, he doesn't really know who I'm talking to. He thinks I might be talking to him, so he answers.
Well, that's his job, his master's voice.
That's right. That's right. You know, there are, you know, the amazing things is that there are still people, like a certain person on the message board.
Who shall go nameless except for the fact that his initials are J-E-F-F?
Yes, and that he's a complete chicken hawk.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I tried to, you know, I have a friend in the recruiting command there in Virginia, and, you know, he would have sent a couple of Marines over to Jeff's house to drive him to a recruiting station.
Well, but, you know, in Operation Yellow Elephant, your job is to be behind the keyboard, Ben, talking about how great the war is.
That's right, and he wants to hear the happy news that's coming out of Iraq.
How much happy news is there in 60% unemployment?
I know there's a few pieces of really just really heartwarming happy news. Halliburton's profits are up. All of the people who own significant quantities of Halliburton stock are going to be able to clip their coupons and have really wonderful holiday seasons this year.
Yeah, and maybe even start on that little country home on the Tigris.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really wonderful for them. It's really good if you're you know, a stockholder in Blackwater Mercenaries.
Oh, that's, yeah, great work. Well, if you can be a Blackwater Mercenary.
If you live.
Right. Well, you know, not getting killed, that's really the key to the benefits package.
You know, the good thing is, this seems to have taken all the guys that read Soldier of Fortune and are actually serious about it, and it's put them in harm's way, and that in future years we'll have fewer of them to deal with.
Yeah, the flypaper theory had there was an aspect of it that was correct. The only thing is, we drew all the mercenaries to Iraq, and not necessarily all the tourists.
Well, you know, where the mercenaries are, the terrorists do follow, because the mercenaries create new terrorists.
Well, every day, and they magnetically attract each other too, because they're in large part, Ben, we both know they're cut from the same cloth.
Well, look at what Bin Laden was before he became a terrorist.
Our guy?
He was our guy. We paid him.
Yeah, our man in the Hindu Kush.
You know, I mean, he was responsible for seeing to it that the Russians had their asses handed to them.
And he did a great job.
He did a great job. And you know, why do we think that somebody who could hand the, you know, the number two superpower on Earth its ass couldn't also do at least a good ass whipping on us?
And the thing is, it's by proxy. I mean, his Osama's impact on Iraq is relatively negligible when you get right down to it. You know,
but his organization, which is
sure.
a cell system.
Yeah.
Understand he has very limited control over Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is a cell system, and generally the way cell systems work is it is kind of like an amoeba.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
as long as the amoeba can handle being one big amoeba, it is. But as soon as it's stressed, it breaks into five or six little amoebas.
Right. It's Hydra-headed.
That's right. And so we're never going to be able to undo Al-Qaeda unless we undo the reasons for their dissatisfaction, the biggest one of which, the greatest one of which right now, is that we are in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Yeah, and of course, what got their hackles up to start with was us putting our infidel footprint in the middle of sacred Saudi sand in the form of the, Bin Sultan Air Base?
And Khobar Towers.
Right, exactly.
You know, yeah, I think those were our housing.
Bin Laden was more than happy to have our money, have our support. You know, his best pals were some CIA operatives during the whole resistance against the Soviets. But the minute we landed those F-14s and F-16s, F-15s, whatever, there in that Saudi airbase and used that to attack another Arab country, got under his skin.
Well, it wasn't that we had them there to fight the war. It was that we left them there after.
Yeah, we came and didn't leave until after 9/11, when he told George Bush to leave, and coward that George Bush is, he packed up. You know, we're not there anymore.
No, we're not. We have no more military presence in Saudi Arabia. You know, which I personally, if I were the Saudis, I would have thought that at this point in time. That's a mixed blessing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they have now, the Sauds, the princes there, have pissed off so many of their neighbors now.
Oh, and they're hated by their own peasantry as well. It takes the, what is it, the Committee for the Promotion of Virtue and Suppression of Vice?
Mm-hmm.
It takes them to going around beating the snot out of the peasantry in Saudi Arabia to keep them in line and keep the Saudis on what is a very, very, very... unsteady throne.
The only thing that keeps them there is all that oil money, which they use to buy mercenaries.
Yep. Neat how it works, isn't it?
Yep.
Well, it astonishes me at the level of our inability to see the obvious. Because, you know, at some point, the Saudi monarchy will fall, Ben.
Oh, and when it falls, it is going to be a mess over there.
Yeah, and we have a chance to, you know, we've had a chance to get on the right side of that thing. But we're not, and we're not going to be.
Nope.
We're going to support that hateful monarchy until its last dying gasps. And then as it gasps and dies, we will put, you know, we will put the Saudi royal family smack dab on an airliner and fly them to the United States just like we did the Shah.
And look at how well that worked out for us.
Yeah, that was really good. I tell you,
sometimes we don't learn.
No, we don't. We do not learn. Mirtha talked about a lot of that today. He said, you know, my experience with insurgencies going back to Vietnam, he said, it's been my experience that you cannot defeat the insurgency until you get the regular citizens in the neighborhood to be willing to tell you where the insurgents are, and we didn't do it then, and we're not doing it now.
Because the people in the neighborhood are the insurgents.
Well, in large part that's true, and the other part of it is, you know, our pal Sue on Big Coal River sent me the link to the Italian documentary. Have you seen it yet?
Yes, I have.
The fact that we've got this sort of ostrich approach to foreign policy, that if the American people don't see it, it didn't happen. And just because we didn't see the bodies that were literally...
I see nothing.
Nothing?
I hear nothing.
I know nothing.
Nothing.
Exactly. And if we don't, then nobody else does. But the whole rest of the world has seen the napalmed bodies and has seen the white phosphorus melted bodies.
You know, I promised myself that I wouldn't be a good German.
Yeah. I'm not into that the good German club either.
You know, so I've seen it, and I've seen quite a lot of other things that we've done. And I've seen enough to know that my government is a criminal and that my country has committed crimes against humanity and that there's going to be a reckoning, and I just hope I can stay out of the way when it happens.
Well, and look, I mean, there was an opportunity in Germany. You know, right after the war, you couldn't find a Nazi.
Oh, no.
And that day is going to come here, too, Ben. You will not be able to find someone who voted for George W. Bush. Every last one of them will be a Kerry voter or a Gore voter, and once and for all, we will finally find out just how bad those Diebold machines were, because, you know, they probably Kerry and Gore should have won by 99 point, yeah, by a Saddam Hussein margin of victory, because no Bush voter will acknowledge him.
You betcha.
And then then the healing starts.
Well, I tell you what, I'm calling out that fellow from the message board. I know he's listening. So, you know, get his butt on the telephone and call up and defend himself for God's sake.
All right. Challenge issued, Ben.
You take care, sir.
All right. Thanks a lot. Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. And shall we keep it rolling? Oh, okay. Okay, I understand. Let's do get back to John Murtha, Congressman Murtha, for just a minute. Way, way, way back when this war started, and it began to be apparent, I talked about it, the fact that Islam pretty much had a schism of monumental proportions in something like maybe the 9th or 8th century. I mean, within 100 years or so of the Prophet's death. Because one group wanted his uncle to be the hereditary caliph. The other group wanted his nephew, Ali, to be the hereditary caliph. The uncle had Ali slaughtered. The followers of Ali became the Shia. The followers of the uncle became the Sunni. And they've been pretty much at each other's throats from then on. And I remarked early on that, lo and behold, George Bush had in fact fulfilled his promise to be a uniter, not a divider, because for the first time in 1,000 blooming years, he had gotten the Arab world, the rival toxic factions of Islam, to unite in one common cause. You know, and if I wait long enough, I get to hear somebody else say it.
The presence of U.S. troops in Iraq is impeding this progress. Our troops have become the primary target of the insurgency. They are united against U.S. forces, and we have become a catalyst for violence. U.S. troops are the common enemy of the Sunnis, the Saddamists, and the foreign jihadists.
Yeah, I guess for, bless his heart, for Congressman Murtha, I guess they're Swedish terrorists, because they're not jihadists, they're yihadists. Yeah, sure, you bet. But no, all kidding aside, we've done it. We have united a group of people that have been bloodthirsty enemies of one another for 1,000 freaking years. And their united sense is that we're the ones that they would like to see die. And the more, the merrier, and the sooner, the better. The sooner, the better. Oh, God, I can't stop. And with revelations, Murtha also talked about the fact that the death really, really did mount up, and the attacks on Americans really did mount up after the revelations of Abu Ghraib. And what's weird is I remember the squealing and the screaming and the carrying on of the right-wing Bolsheviks when the news came out and it was revealed just exactly what had been done with which broom handles and which nether regions in Abu Ghraib. And Flush Flimball said, "My friends, it's only a fraternity prank." And never seemed to have the ability to look at it and ask, well, would it be a fraternity prank if that exact same thing was done to an American soldier? Then it would be cause to drop a nuclear device on the offenders.
How would he know it was a fraternity prank? He never went to college.
He dropped out. I sincerely doubt he pledged anybody. That's what we're dealing with. And this hardcore, weird, little, bloodthirsty, chicken-hawk, cowardly knot of human beings that still insists on supporting this murderous, murderous man is still there. And they're still in the Senate. Well, I tell you what, we're getting too close to the break to do anymore. But yeah, the defense of dear leader and big time Dick that was mounted on the floor today was just enough to send lunch straight up out of your gullet. Let's take that break. This is Head On.
Questions about the apartment you have on Park Street.
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Who is gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
Well, it's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle. For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Thank you, Brian Reznor. And thank you, Agnes. Agnes is having a tough night tonight. And I'd say it's, I don't know, show a little love out there somewhere along the way. Because like me, she's a perfectionist. And being like me, someone who so seldom sees it, it's very easy to just be terribly, terribly hard on yourself. And, Tom Petty running over top of the hour two intro and stuff like that just really makes her want to either open a fifth of gin or a vein, you know, your choice.
He's kidding. I don't drink. But if you hear any sounds of banging, don't worry. It's just my head against the desk.
Yeah. And don't let her kid you about the drinking thing either. Hey, got an email during the break and wanted to put in a special shout out there for the folks hanging out in Tom Hartman's chat room, listening to the show maybe for the first time. God, I hope it's not your last. You know, we Agnes and I, we always try to pick the nights when things are going to hell in a particularly nice fashion to bring the new listeners on board. But seriously, welcome to the program. I hope you'll make a habit of it. God knows, Tom's got an IQ of something that requires exponential notation to thoroughly calculate, and not me. But I hope you can find some enjoyment in Head On as well as Tom's show, because God, I have a ton of respect for him. Hang out, enjoy Tom's chat room, and come by and see us one night when maybe we're doing it right. But don't leave, please. So, about 7.5 minutes after the hour, an email from our pal David, talking about the comments from Congressman Murtha. Train? No people to do it? Equipment? No money for that? Eating a few seeds, are we? Going back to the old farmer's proscription against delving into the seed stock to fill your belly. And that's what we've done in Iraq. The old grizzled blood and guts platoon sergeants. we got a lot of them killed in the first year of the war. So, who's going to train the newbies? Newbies. It's kind of like teen pregnancy. Babies raising babies. The rich, David says, gorging on the gifts of the Bushistas, the real workers. Whether laborers or fighters, they've got to give more, more, more. The Republican way revealed. And with regard to the conversation that Ben and I were having, David says there's a day coming that will bring retribution that will seek us out, branded by our past actions. There's a day coming that, by just proving we voted against the Bush family, won't save us. Simply voting right won't stop the wildfire that can come. And if I understand David correctly, I think he means that it's time to get loud. It's time to demand accountability from these Republicans who are destroying our Congress, our government, the whole we the people thingy. Isn't that what George Bush the first used to describe? The thingy? I don't do the empathy thingy. But yeah, and that's why this show is here. Because there will come a day when everybody spits on the ground at the name of George W. Bush. There will come a day when somebody will look at it and say, hey, look, everybody says that now. Prove that you weren't part of the chicken hawk crowd. And you can point to the archives of the White Rose Society and say, listen, listen, I was there with Bob. We talked. We saw this coming. We predicted it. But yeah, a year ago, Halloween, I was talking about it. That was when the Johns Hopkins report came out that was published in the British medical journal Lancet that gave the conservative estimate that we, you and me, we the people of the United States of America had participated in the wholesale slaughter of in excess of 100,000 Iraqi civilians. Talking about that, and dear leader the other day said, the terrorists don't hate us because of the Crusades. Yeah, they do. Sure they do. You're telling me that we, in a culture that still gets into heated arguments over who was right or wrong in the Civil War 140 years ago, you're telling me that those folks don't get burned up when they think about the slaughter that took place 1,000 years ago and the repeat performance that we're offering now? Sure they do. And the retribution that David's discussing? Yeah, it's coming. And the thing is, there are babies that have not been born yet in the Middle East that will grow up and live to slaughter Americans for what we did in Iraq. Congressman Murtha is right. It is time to get out. It is time to make amends. It is time to fix that which we have destroyed. Let's go to the phones. Bruce is with us, I suspect for the first time, calling from Greensboro, North Carolina. Is that right, Bruce?
That is correct. Bob, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. This is the first time I've listened to you. I listened to your show back before you were taken off the air or whatever happened there.
That's right. Taken off the air.
That was the worst thing they ever did. But and now that you're back on with working with Ben Burge, man, it's fantastic.
Well, I tell you what, Ben's doing a whale of a job, and I know for a fact the stream sounds a lot better than it used to.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. He's top notch, that guy. But I wanted to talk to you about tonight. It is really kind of amazing. Lately, the Democratic congressman waking up and actually saying things now where they let so much stuff go by in the past.
Yeah.
And I was reading tonight that they're actually considering holding up the reauthorization of the Patriot Act.
I ran across that headline, Bruce, but I didn't get to see the body of it because it hit too late for me to catch. What's the substance?
Well, the substance of that is that apparently there's a bipartisan panel that is working on some reauthorizing part of the Patriot Act, and they're wanting to hold it up because there's some pieces of it they want to change. In other words, they want to put some limitations in there, and this is not just this is actually some Republicans too, John Sununu and Lisa Murkowski,
mm-hmm.
who were also involved in that. But it's amazing to me that people that the Congress critters are actually beginning to stand up and act like they have some excuse my French cojones.
Yeah, sure. And that's that's something we saw on both sides of the aisle, Bruce, is the. There were some, the war resolution.
Yeah.
There were people who said, my Senator Robert Byrd, he didn't necessarily say that he was against the war or that it was all lies. I mean, we know it was. But he felt like the Congress was abdicating its authority. And I think there's a little bit of a sense of that in what you see with what you just described with regard to the Patriot Act. Congress has a function, and that function is not necessarily licking the boots of the executive branch.
Yes. I totally, totally concur. A friend of mine here in Greensboro, when Harry Reid called the Senate into closed session couple weeks ago, he said,
mm-hmm.
"Damn, we got an opposition party finally."
Yeah, and you can tell how effective it was just by the level of the vitriol and the hate that flowed out of right wing hate radio the next morning.
Yeah.
You know, it started with the morning programs. It flowed through to noon, picked up by Flush, and then O'Reilly and Hannity. And by the end of the evening, poor Michael the Savage Wiener was damn near an aneurysm.
I love it, Michael the Savage Wiener. Well, the other thing I wanted to sort of get your take on was this whole thing about the secret prisons and in Eastern Europe. I don't know. Have you read anything up on that? Or
oh yeah, I've been following it as best I can. Apparently, Poland, Czechoslovakia, and Romania.
Okay.
Now,
I was reading an article yesterday that implied that European Union had in their charter that they could not knowingly be a part of torturous acts.
Right.
Okay.
They got really, really civilized after. Well, you'd like to think that maybe somewhere along the way the major Western European powers learned a lesson from World War II.
Right.
One that we've apparently forgotten. And it could be, if my reading is correct, it could be dire consequences for those member states that are participating in this.
And it's my understanding also that this is going to backfire on Blair big time.
Oh, gosh, yes. And, the other side of the whole secret prison thing is it's just another example, Bruce, of how these hateful people process information. They don't see a proscription as a proscription. You know, we've got federal laws that say we don't torture.
Right.
And that is expressly why these secret prisons were set up in Eastern Europe and the Middle East. Because the way they think about it, the way the right wing thinks about it, these killers, these chicken hawks, is that, okay, it's proscribed in the United States, but that doesn't mean we can't do it elsewhere.
Okay.
Instead of looking at it and saying, ah, well, the federal law says that we don't do torture, that means Americans don't do torture. You know, these are loophole seekers.
Absolutely.
And as such, instead of thinking that meant we don't do it anywhere, that means we just can't do it if anybody's watching. You know, it's the old Monty Python bit. The philosopher song thing about, you know, and I don't want to see anybody abusing the abos if there's anybody looking. And it's a sick and sad way to run something that purports to be a democracy and a republic.
It is. And, you know, and as a friend of mine likes to say, we're creating terrorists faster than we can kill them.
Oh, it's the whole Middle East is now a great big Uncle Osama wants you poster.
You know, I have three kids myself, and it really scares me to see, you know, just the long-term effects of all of this disastrous foreign policy, because at some point it's going to melt down.
Yeah.
You know, and we're going to be left holding the bag going, you know, while they're laughing their way to the bank.
Well, you know, you saw it in the Social Security stuff, Bruce. I don't know if you caught this, but Bush's Social Security plan died. It was just sort of gasping up blood as of yesterday. It's dead.
Right.
And in its place, the Republicans wanted to put forward, this token statement that everybody who was above 50 was going to get their Social Security, and that died too. But the point of that is that you talk about the meltdown. Based on, you know, what I fear is that the meltdown is going to come when the generation, your kids, my Agnes and my kids, are going to be young and you know, just entering adulthood and caught completely unawares. You know, when you're in that early 20s, I'm bulletproof phase.
Yeah.
And us, on the other hand, we're going to just be entering that retirement zone, and there's going to be a profound lack of leadership in a very hollow core, and we're going to be screwed.
Yeah. Well, so who do you think, give me your pick for 08.
Mark Warner.
Mark Warner, okay. Well, I'm a John Edwards fan.
But. Well, I like John Edwards a lot, too. The only problem being that, I hate to say this because I have, frankly, more respect for John Edwards than I do Kerry. But the fact is, once you've run and been beaten, you're tainted. You're damaged goods.
Yeah.
And if we, you know, if I don't know, he can try to run on his own hook, and I'd love to see him do it. I say Mark Warner primarily because I heard him speak, and he impresses me with his the fact that he's a do-it-yourself millionaire.
Okay.
He is incredibly intelligent. He is, as far as anyone can tell, he is profoundly lacking in swift boats or girls with blue dresses in his closet. He's got Kennedy-esque good looks, and God, I hate to be so shallow that I would even mention that. But all of that is there for him. He's a Southern governor. He performed what can arguably be called an economic miracle, given the multi-billion dollar bag he was left holding by his Republican predecessor there in Virginia.
George Allen, wasn't it?
Yeah, George Allen. And so, you know, everything's there. I hesitate to run a senator in any race simply because you...
Wasn't Kennedy the last senator to get elected?
Technically LBJ.
LBJ, okay.
I mean, he'd been vice president, but he came out of the Senate as well.
Okay.
But there's all that baggage, and, you know, if you happen to vote, if they happen to slip in an amendment saying that Dolly Madison was a sleazy trollop, and you vote aye on that bill that's got 19 other appropriations in it, but you know the next thing you wake up the next morning, you know, John Kerry says Dolly Madison was a sleazy trollop. He voted for it. It's in his record.
Yeah, yeah. That's Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah,
that's pretty good, Rush Limbaugh, by the way.
Well, thank you very kindly. God knows I've had years to work on it.
I hear you. Well, thanks a lot, Bob.
Bruce, take care, and I hope we'll hear from you again soon.
All right, man.
Bye now.
Bye now.
And Gary. Hey, Gary, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing great. We've got phones lit up here, and Agnes is pushing buttons for all she's worth.
Hey, well, let me just tell you this. Warner, he doesn't. He's got boys in blue dresses in his closet.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. Stop that.
Hey, and as this will be archived on your show, I did not vote for Bush. I've never had no use for the man. But I'll tell you one thing, Bob. I'd vote for anybody before I'd vote for John Kerry or Al Gore. I mean, absolutely. You know, the Democratic Party doesn't have anything to offer. I mean, the best thing the Democratic Party's got going right now, in my opinion, is Joe Manchin. Now, that guy, he is...
Now, I had a nice dinner, and I don't want to see it again, Gary.
Well, that's my opinion, Bob.
Joe Manchin's the best thing the Democrats have to offer?
I think he is. I think the guy's way underrated. I think his star's going to shine. And I'm not, and you know, I'm darn sure not a Democrat, but the guy's got class. He's really got class.
The walls are beginning to melt. This is just awful. Oh, my God, the microphone boom's turning into a snake.
He's a Democrat, Bob. Now, come on.
Yeah, he's a Dino. Come on.
He's not Underwood. I mean, this is Joe Manchin.
This is a guy who accepts an invite to sit on the same Let's Kill Medicaid panel with Jebby Bush. This is a Democrat who accepted an invitation and sat right smack dab next to Arnold at the inauguration in Washington. And this is a Democrat who goes and rubs elbows and God knows what else with the right to lifers in Morgantown. This guy's no Democrat.
Well,
you know, and like Wayne said a long time ago.
No, seriously. As long as you've got people like Howard Dean and John Kerry running the Democratic Party.
No, wait a minute. What's wrong with Howard Dean?
He's a fruitcake.
How?
Every time he opens his mouth, the guy's a fruitcake.
No, he's not.
I mean, John Kerry is just
he talks. Gary, what you get out of Howard Dean is just straight up Harry Truman talk. He says what's on his mind, and he doesn't pull any punches.
Well, he might say what's on his mind and doesn't pull any punches, but that's it seems like it's a pretty serious matter. I mean, it shows kind of a deranged mind to me.
Well, I don't see the
have to agree to disagree.
No, I just don't see the derangement. I mean, I know how you could achieve that perception, Gary, because that is what has been put out there and played for all it was worth. From the scream forward. I mean, I've got a good bit of audio equipment here in front of me, Gary, and I can tell you right here and now I know exactly how the scream came about.
Okay, how did it come about?
You would have had to been standing in the room, okay? But that big ballroom in, what was it, Iowa?
Uh-huh.
Was so loud. I mean, you've been to events like this, I'm sure, you know, where it's so loud just from the chatter of the people there that you're raising your voice just to be heard in your own little group.
Uh-huh.
That room was thunderously loud.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happened, and frankly, the people, when Howard Dean did the so-called scream, the people at the back of the room didn't know he'd even made a noise.
Well, Bob, it's
however, he did that. He did that into a microphone that was a straight feed into the board, and it made it. For God's sakes, it made him sound. It made him sound like Tarzan calling the elephants.
Well, it's way more than that, Bob. It's way more than that. It's just the guy's general attitude.
Well, he's outraised every other Democratic Party chairman so far. At this point in time, in Terry McAuliffe's fundraising efforts, he was getting whipped $3 to $1 by the Republicans. In the same area, Howard Dean is getting beat 2-1. So no wonder they're after him. But at least when you hear the smears, Gary, bother to wonder why.
Well, you know, I'm in kind of a strange position because I just don't see anybody out there, or the parties, I don't care about them. None of them speak to what, I mean, I used to be, well, I call myself a conservative.
Yeah.
Do you see what the Republicans have done to the conservatives' wing of the party?
Used them just like they used the pro-life movement.
Well, it's disgusting. I mean, you vote for these guys, and they're supposed to go to Washington and be fiscal conservatives and just be conservative all the way around, and they're anything but. So, I mean, I can't support them. I do not support most things in the Democratic Party. Well, there's a few.
Yeah, but I know, Gary, that
I'm so unique, you know that.
Yeah, but I know that you don't bother or you don't mind doing a little homework and reading some volume. Take a look at the fiscal differences between Republicans and Democrats when they control Congress.
I'm afraid to, Bob.
Pork is up astronomically under this Republican Congress.
So, get a passport and leave the country. I mean, it is totally disgusting. I mean, I don't know what to say to you.
I think you've been victimized a little bit, Gary.
Well, I did not vote for Bush, so, I mean, I can't say I was victimized in that respect, but he was a guy right off the bat I never did like.
But the thing is, you've still been kind of taken in by this whole, you know, tax and spend Democrats thing, when some of that simply doesn't apply.
Well, Bob, I don't know what to say. I really don't.
Well, I tell you, I mean,
what is a Republican or a conservative to say when you say something like that? I mean, you're absolutely right, but we've just had to shift putting our back.
Well, I know that, and as soon as you wake up, you can start changing things.
But I still, I cannot support the Democrats you've got out there right now.
Well,
I mean,
I don't know.
Warner guy. Now, I think he might be pretty credible.
He did a hell of a job with Virginia, and, you know, a bunch of conservatives ought to know, and you don't get any more conservative than the oldie Dominion.
Well, and, you know, paradoxically enough, on the Republican side of things, this George Allen might be the candidate on the Republican side, so I think that would be extremely interesting. Virginia, the mother of presidents, have two candidates from both parties running. That would really be interesting, wouldn't it?
That would be the return of what Aaron Burr called the Virginia Junto. Hey, Gary, we got to hit it and leave it at that. Thanks. Good to hear from you.
Okay, Bob. Thank you.
Take it easy.
You too.
All right. Let's hit the break.
Toward our troops. We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, in yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and coast guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he a... Nureyev. Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs?
Sure about that?
Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh?
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. As more and more information reluctantly trickles to the top of the media food chain about how the Bush administration lied about going to war with Iraq, the sad fact is that our soldiers are still there, and no one with any real authority seems to have a clue as to what to do next. I'll admit there was a time, not so long ago, too, when I believed we had to stay in Iraq for as long as it took because we had a responsibility to make things better for the Iraqi people, and because I believe we need to be responsible about cleaning up our own messes. But if we were that noble and mature to begin with, we would never have invaded Iraq in the first place. So after careful consideration, I think the best thing we can do is to just get out as quickly as we can. But getting out is only the first part. The people who got us into the war need to be removed from power and brought to justice, and we need to apologize to the world for our actions and begin the real war against terrorism, which you win through a combination of intelligence, infiltration, and building the kind of world where being a suicide bomber is unthinkable. Sure, it's not as easy a sell as a war, but the results will be much better. And finally, we have to learn that we can't go on maintaining our current lifestyle. This war was as much about saving suburbia as it was about anything else. We were lied to, yes, but all too many of us wanted to be lied to because we love our big cars and cheap gas. The party's over as far as that goes, and the sooner we figure that out, the better. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
By the way, that's a great disc if you're out there purchasing music. It's called Basher, the Very Best of Nick Lowe, and there is not a bad song on it. It'd be a good addition if you like that era, that sort of British return to rockabilly thing that they were into. It's very much enjoyable. Let's see, 27 and a half minutes before, and we're halfway done again. This is disturbing. I don't know where the time goes. It goes faster behind this microphone than it. Well, I mean, you know how time goes in the dentist chair. This is the opposite of that. And thanks, very many thanks to Joe Vecchio for tonight's report. I really enjoy that piece, and I encourage you to go and check out the Cup of Joe show. As well as the archives there at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Joe's a great guy and a radio pro, and he's got the great lines to screaming audio. See, I can't steal that. It would be too obvious, but via screaming audio. Why didn't we come up with that? Because Joe's quicker than us. So I'm not done with Congressman Murtha yet. You haven't, oh my goodness, the audio itself was 20, 25 minutes long. But just to finish up, he makes it very clear, Congressman Murtha does, and again, if you're just joining in, this guy's a war guy. But being a real warrior as opposed to, the armchair plastic fake Hasbro type. He understands what it takes to get the job done, and basically, well, You know the talk you hear from the Bush administration about how there are Iraqis who like us? Congressman Murtha's been there. He knows better.
The presence of U.S. troops in Iraq is impeding this progress. Our troops have become the primary target of the insurgency. They are united against U.S. forces, and we have become a catalyst for violence. U.S. troops are the common enemy of the Sunnis, the Saddamists, and the foreign jihadists.
Now, that was actually cut six, but it didn't do us any harm to hear that. Let's go ahead and run cut seven if we can.
A poll recently conducted
that I talked about on this show,
reported in the Washington Times, over 80% of Iraqis are strongly opposed to the presence of coalition forces. And about 45% of Iraqi population believe attacks against American troops are justified. I believe we need to turn Iraq over to the Iraqis.
That makes sense. On the other hand, what do you get from the Dear Leader administration?
Well, we can't cut and run, because if we do that, then no more soldiers will die over there, and that'll mean that the soldiers died. That'll mean that they done died in vain if more soldiers don't die in vain to prove that the first ones didn't die in vain. You understand?
That makes no sense. What Congressman Murtha put forward was a plan that says, we got to tell the Iraqis we're getting out, and one way or the other, they either get it together or they don't. But we're done, because we've done enough damage, we've done enough harm, we've shed enough blood. I don't know if anybody's posted this on the message boards at headonradio.com or not. If they haven't, I'll go there and do it. Our friend Sue from Big Coal River sent the link for the Italian documentary. See this. And for the Bushevics who are listening, you see it twice. See the napalmed bodies. See the white phosphorus melted bodies. And tell me then what a noble, upstanding, godly place this is. We have potential to be the beacon of light to the world. We just happened for the last 5 years or so to have hidden our light under a bushel. We have gone about, how many times did Dear Leader stand up in front of the American people with that goofy smirk on his face and talk about how Saddam was the vile dictator who gassed his own people, and how he had the rape rooms, and now the rape rooms were closed? God, that wasn't George Bush, that was Pauly Shore. How many times did he do that? And then Abu Ghraib comes out and we find out that, oh no, the rape rooms are still open for business. It's just being done by Americans. You know, then we find out last week, lions. Lions that were kept by Udi and Kuti at the palace before we sent them shuffling off this mortal coil. We used lions to torture Iraqi detainees. You know, every time I see that word detainees, I think about Thurston Howell. Oh, lovey, look, Gilligan's a detainee. They're prisoners, and they're torture victims. And we paid to do it. But he stood there, the rape rooms are gone, and Saddam is no longer a threat to his people. Doesn't that just make you want to tear your clothes and run screaming around the room? Doesn't it? I don't know. I talk about my dad from time to time. World War II veteran. I've got uncles that are World War II veterans. My wife had them in her family too, and we're both blessed to be able to know them and listen to them. And you know, with regard to my dad, he sees the news and I share these stories, and I don't mean to break his heart, and I'm not the one who is. George Bush is breaking an 81-year-old man's heart because he believed what he was told when they were fighting the Second World War, that they were fighting the rise of fascism, that they were fighting the enemies of freedom, and they were. And who among us would ever, ever, ever have imagined, and these were his words to me, who would ever, ever have imagined that the very monsters they fought to protect America against would show up in Washington, D.C. in Brooks Brothers suits? To the phones. Chris is with us. Hey, Chris, you're head on.
Now, Bob, I want to straighten something out here with you. I want to give you an edge case.
All right.
Now, when you put your light under your bushel, you know what you get, don't you?
Fire?
Smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That's what
it's a smudge pot.
Yeah. And I heard you talking about my mama last night, and I want to clear something up with that.
Yeah, okay.
She's worse than you think. I mean, that broad's crazy.
Now, how did she get the gig with the Quaker Oats box?
Now, to explain that, I'd have to go into Truman Capote.
I understand. She got the gig with the Quaker Oats box because her picture on the $1 bill was such a great success.
Oh, I've got a framed copy.
Several of them.
It's signed. I didn't know they made bills that small, though. You know.
You didn't even light the firecracker. You didn't even light the firecrackers you were sticking in the frog's mouth with $1 bills, did you?
Well, I tell you what, I didn't like when she started the thing with the coat hangers.
Oh, Lord.
It was her that started it. It wasn't me. I didn't know nothing about it. I wasn't there.
You mean you've got the little brand back there, too, and Mommy applied it personally?
Back there?
On there?
What are you talking about, Bob? Back there.
Oh.
Now, she's running that. She changed her security clearance name. You know, I changed Condi's to Foxy Brown.
Foxy Brown, yeah, I understand.
Foxy Brown, that's right. Now, she changed her name.
What's that now? What is that?
Gray Buffalo.
Gray Buffalo.
Gray Buffalo.
Oh.
When you mess with the bull, you get the horn. Of course, I've been trying to tell her that ain't a bull.
But that's a problem you have in the family, those gender issues.
We got Jeb down there wanting to run president.
Only in 2012.
Now, Jeb, every time we have a dinner together, he gets up and starts talking about hurricanes.
Well, that shouldn't be a problem for you, I imagine. I imagine you spent your fair share of time at Pat O'Brien's in New Orleans swigging a few hurricanes yourself.
Where do you get your information at, Bob?
I have sources, sir.
Oh, okay. Well, they weren't exactly hurricanes, and they weren't exactly cocaine. It was somewhere in the middle.
Oh, man, I bet that numb's going down the throat.
The throat?
Straight out of the bottle, into the tube, and into the arm? I don't know. I wasn't there.
Well, you know, you got to get the IV just open just right.
All right, kids, I got the dump button here. Behave.
That must be wife, Agnes. I hear she's a wonderful woman.
She is a fierce taskmistress, and she can tap on that dump button like a Mexican mariachi player.
Don't say Mexican. Yeah. You know how Mother Bush dislikes the little brown ones.
True enough.
Well, you better watch. Now, there's an old saying in Texas. You want to hear it?
I don't know.
NAFTA, do we have to?
NAFTA, do we have to?
Do we have to? Do we have to NAFTA?
And CAFTA? And SAFTA?
Yeah, well, okay.
I always thought AFTA was some sort of aftershave preparation. Silly me.
Well, it could have been. I'm not really sure. But I'm going to have a State of the Union next week, and I hear that nobody's going to watch.
Well, then, you know, if a tree, you know, if an idiot speaks in the forest and there's no one there, you know, does he make a sound?
I found that I did.
Hey, Chris, we got to roll on and hit the break. Thanks so much, man.
Bye-bye.
Later. Our pal Chris from Alabama. Let's do hit the break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
just a kid.
I'm six.
I'm nine.
I'm four and a half.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Because mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Roof fall accidents have declined significantly in recent years, but they still continue to claim the lives of too many working miners. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. No miner has to die from a roof fall accident. Miners and mine operators can take steps to reduce the likelihood of these tragic accidents in underground mines. Always follow the approved roof control plan for your mining operation. Make required roof examinations before starting work. Look at the roof closely, listen, and sound it out. Install additional roof support when you encounter adverse roof conditions. Always use maximum supervision and oversight when performing retreat mining operations. Never, ever walk or travel under unsupported roof. Make the right decision. Focus more attention on roof control in underground mines. Thank you for listening.
So, which one's yours?
The one at bat.
Strike.
Oh, that's okay, Chris. Only my kid could strike out in T-ball. Oh, run, Chris, go!
Looks like he's having some trouble running.
Oh, he's wandering way off the baseline.
It's like he can't see.
Oh, my gosh, his helmet is too big.
It's as big as a bucket.
You know, I must have gotten him an adult one. What was I thinking?
You're out!
Oh.
When safety equipment doesn't fit, it's game over. That goes for your kids, too. If they're too big for a car seat, that doesn't mean they're the right size for an adult safety belt. If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat. It raises them up so the safety belt fits properly. And the right fit makes all the difference to their future. To learn more, visit www.boosterseat.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
I'm never going to be able to listen to that song the same way again. After reading those excerpts from G. Gordon Libby's book, The Apprentice, that has a scene where little sister is put into a cage with a bear for immoral purposes as, what is it, the Mann Act or whatever it is.
All right, Bob, just leave it alone.
I can't. I will not. Hey, little. No, it's never going to play the same way for me again. Not after the ice scooter.
And by the way, please let's change the PSA from that negligent mother that buys her child too big of a helmet.
Yeah, only my kid could strike out in T-ball.
She's a bad mommy.
She is. Yeah, these are... Okay, I promise. I've even seen complaints on the message boards at headonradio.com about my PSAs. They're just space fillers. That's all they are. They're just space fillers. We'll change them soon. I mean, I'm out there cutting sound bites and stuff. It's not like there's a staff involved. But no, we'll fix that. But it turns out Scooter Libby, while I'm babbling about him, Do you remember? It was after the anthrax killer anthraxed all the liberals. And didn't he send anthrax to Peter Jennings? God rest his soul. The anthrax killer that Crisco John Ashcroft could never catch up with, and apparently neither can Alberto Torquemada Gonzalez. But it was shortly after that Scooter Libby, it turns out, was the guy who was behind the big smallpox terror. Remember, after the anthrax thing, well, we're going to have to vaccinate the entire country for smallpox. And then the information came out that inoculating America for smallpox would probably kill more Americans than any Al-Qaeda attempt to introduce smallpox into the population. That was Scooter Libby. These terrorists? And we want, sure, the 6'4" Arab with the portable dialysis machine, yeah, he's a terrorist. He's a bad man. But we've got other terrorists, like Scooter Libby, out here trying to scare America into randomly killing its children with smallpox vaccinations and writing kiddie porn novels. Damn! Yes, Agnes, I'll stop cursing, okay? Let's go to the phones. Wayne's with us. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Doing good.
Good show.
Thanks, man.
Show sounds good. I have to defend my good friend Howard Dean.
Thank you.
Okay. And, you know, Gary, you may not believe what Howard Dean does or stands for. If you've ever watched him on any of the programs, Meet the Press or... you know, I don't know. I can't name them all. The man does not avoid any question. He might not answer with the answer you want, but he doesn't avoid it. He answers the question. I think he's the best thing ever happened to the Democratic Party. And, you know, the screen, whether it was,
Well, it was manufactured.
Well, I don't doubt that, but it certainly showed enthusiasm. And what the hell's the matter with that?
Yeah, well, you know, when was the last time you saw... When was the last time, Democrat or Republican, when was the last time you saw any genuine emotion?
Exactly. And I urge anybody listening, if you know he's coming on a program or whatever, watch him. The man, he answers every question.
If it's Meet the Prestitutes and Tim Russert, you get kind of a bonus because you know that Russert will sit there and lob softballs at whoever his Republican guest is.
Did you watch that?
Oh yeah, and then he'll bear down on his Democrat like Matlock exposing the murderer.
I know. That's right. That's exactly right. But I think he's a man of conviction. Conviction, you know. That's an old Serbian word, you know.
Yeah. What's it mean?
What it means?
No.
To give balls. We have a lot of similar words there in Serbian things, you know, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, so.
And you're using conviction in the non-Republican sense of the word. When you talk about conviction and Republicans, you're talking about striped suits, little chains around, little bracelets around the ankles, and
that's conformity.
No. I'm talking about conviction. Like, well, you know where, they go to prison. You know, like Colson and Ehrlichman and Haldeman and G. Gordon Liddy and
Liddy did, but what's his name never did, Colonel North.
Yeah, Colonel.
I was working on a construction job. What year was that? Iran-Contra.
Oh, that, well, yeah. Well, that started blowing up in late '86 and really caught fire by '87. I remember cutting the sound bites at CNN for it.
Okay, I guess. Well, I was in Vermont building something for Pizzagalli Construction or something.
Yeah.
And all that happened, and I went into work the next day, and it was lunchtime or something, and there was a bunch of these. Well, they were, misguided Republicans. Hey, did you see Ollie North? What do you think about that? I said, I think Ollie North's a traitor and he ought to be shot at dawn. It didn't go over very well.
Yeah, didn't play in Peoria?
Oh, no, no. But, you know, Howard Dean's the exact opposite of
right.
That. You know, so, well, and I urge Gary, why, you know, if you know he's coming on, watch him. Watch him on. He does not avoid any question. He answers every question. Maybe might not be the answer you want to hear, but he answers it.
Yeah, and it'll give you something to think about as opposed to refreshing. Yeah, as opposed to chinless Ken Melman.
I'm unfamiliar.
No, well, he was the guy who was on before Howard on Meet the Prestitute.
Oh, that guy. Yeah, right. I didn't even know when they said, oh, he's the chair of the Republican Party. I went, oh, wow, I never even heard of him.
Yeah, this is the sleazoid who corrupted churches and, had a hand in sending that flyer to West Virginia and Arkansas. John Kerry's going to get your Bible and give it to the queers.
Yeah,
that guy.
Yeah.
That was his baby. That was his work. Yeah, don't you just hate them. Just awful.
There was the oil lies thing were great, wasn't it?
Oh.
You know, the fresh lies?
Yeah.
I mean, that one even 4 or 5 days old. They caught him in that one.
Oh, it's all beaut. And I got to give you credit. You're the one who said the wheels are coming off and we get to watch it happen. Unfortunately, we're out of time. We got to hit the break.
Well, wait a minute.
Okay.
I'm also the guy that said shortly after the election, now we get to watch him self-destruct.
And we are watching it and enjoy. Hey, let me put you on hold or whatever. There's something else I want to talk to you about and ask you about after we get back from the break, okay?
Hey, I'll be here.
All right, stand by.
All right.
All right, break time.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, he's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
Oh, it's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle. For your free Buy Recycle shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
Reputation, cause I like to get low down. All you mothers better lock up your daughters, cause the boogeyman's in town. They call me the boogeyman. Nobody can do it like I can. Well, they call me the boogeyman. I'm a
king-size boogeyman. Now the sheriff has got my number. He locked me up last fall. I told his daughter how to do the boogie now. Can't go back at all. They call me the boogeyman. Nobody can do it like I can. Call me the boogeyman. I'm a king-size boogeyman. Well, I used to play in a traveling band down on the county line. Went down there to do some boogieing and I wound up doing time. They call me the boogeyman. Nobody can do it like I can. So they call me the boogeyman. I'm a king-size boogeyman. Now I tell all you good timing women, and you never talks on the ball. Just a little taste of my good boogie will make you climb this wall. They call me the boogeyman. Nobody can do it like I can. So they call me the boogeyman. I'm a king-size boogeyman. Well, I got a pocket reputation, cause I like to get low down. All you mothers better lock up your daughters, cause the boogeyman's in town. They call me the boogeyman. Nobody can do it like I can. So they call me the boogeyman. I'm a king-size boogeyman. King-size, my boogeyman.
Shake your money maker, shake your money maker, shake your money maker, and then I got a gal and she lives up on the hill. I got a gal and she lives up on the hill. If she don't do it, I know her sister will. You gotta shake your money maker, shake your money maker, shake your money maker, shake that money maker. Shake your money maker and then try like it's not. I got a gal and she just won't be true. I got a gal and she just won't be true. She got good friends, she won't do a thing I tell her to. She won't shake her money maker. Shake your money maker, throw your agitator with that beer relator. Gotta shake your money maker and then try like it's not. I got a gal and she lives up on the hill. I got a gal and she lives up on the hill. Gonna love me, but I don't believe she will. You gotta shake your money maker, shake your money maker, roll your agitator with that money maker. You gotta shake your money maker, and then one more time for me, honey.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
right, let's get it started. 5 minutes past the hour. I'm Bob. This is Head On. The phone numbers, well, you heard Brian there. The other number, 304-658-3333. Use the toll-free if you need us to carry the freight. Bob at headonradio.com is the email address. Agnes at headonradio.com for my lovely wife, A-G-N-E-S. And, of course, again, a lot of thanks to the new listeners hanging out over in the Tom Hartman chat room this evening. And I really appreciate you spending time. It means a lot to me. Because time is all we have, and what we choose to share with others is about the most precious gift we can give. Let's go back to the phone. I asked Wayne to stick around with us for a reason. You still there, man?
Yeah, I am.
Cool.
Listen, let me say something before you start.
Okay.
Do you know how many times I've heard Peter Gunn in my life? Did I tell you this the other day?
No.
Henry Mancini graduated from Maricopa High School. Same high school I graduated from.
You guys are just all over, aren't you?
Yeah, we are. And it was amazing. My uncles used to tell me stories about him. They used to throw rocks at him when he carried his violin case down the street. But, you know, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty, he
takes a rock real well.
He writes, yeah, he does, you know. And he came on, look at it. Well, that's probably where Peter Gunn came from. You know.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. But what were you going
to
say?
No, I wanted to ask you totally separate issue, but I caught you on the television last night.
Oh, okay.
And I wanted to ask you if you were making any headway with this business with West Virginians being fired from work for being West Virginians.
Well, I don't know. I'm trying. You know.
Give a little background, Wayne.
Well, okay. Here's the thing. Walmart's building a new store in Fayetteville. Well, not Fayetteville, but on Route 19. I don't know if that's in the city limits or whatever.
Yeah, on top
it
of
must
the...
be because city council decided, yeah, they could do it.
Well, they zoned it in for the express
exactly
purpose.
You're right. They changed the zoning. They, you know, and Walmart controls all that. You know?
Sure.
Try and fight them. You don't have enough money. And so they're building a store. They contracted to a contractor in North Carolina to do the masonry.
Okay.
Now, masonry is a huge part of a Walmart store. I mean, you know, if you look at them, they're built out of block.
Yeah, they're all block.
Exactly. So they came up here, you know, from North Carolina with some of their men and that, and they hired 4 West Virginians. And I think the news report said in a week, you know, they got rid of them all, but it was, I think a couple of them there might have been there 3 weeks. I don't know exactly. But they came to work Monday morning, and the 4 West Virginians were told they no longer have a job because they're citizens of West Virginia, and this company doesn't want to pay West Virginia workers' comp.
You know, for me, Wayne, that's just another incentive never to set foot inside that god-awful place.
What the hell? That's an insult.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And listen, I try other means of communication to get, you know, to try to tell the truth, and that doesn't work, and I won't try that anymore.
Yeah.
The difference between workers' compensation for a mason in North Carolina as opposed to here is 4 cents.
On the hour?
On a dollar.
Not even, oh my God.
4 cents. Now, you know, the rate is basically 8 cents a dollar in North Carolina, 12 cents a dollar here. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you. The right wing would go, that's a 50% increase. No. Well, I don't care what it is. Okay? You're in West Virginia. You're building a store.
That you expect West Virginians to shop in.
And come and spend their money
right
there. You know, but you can't work here. Now, I am not saying, and it, you know, and people are saying, I'm saying, no West Virginians work there. That's not true. That is not true.
But this particular masonry crew,
they're not going to hire any. They offered off these people all jobs in Ohio. We'll put you to work in Ohio. So it wasn't that the workers were poor workers. They were from West Virginia.
Yeah, and they're working.
My God.
But Ohio has a privatized workers' comp scheme too, don't they? or I mean not state run, state run.
Yeah, they do, and you know, you trying to, you know, listen. That's beyond me trying to keep up with all these things. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, why they could do that in Ohio and not here or whatever. You know, the thing here in West Virginia is, if you're an out-of-state contractor, you could work here for 90 days, not pay West Virginia workers' comp, as long as you don't employ West Virginians. Now, that's a very sad law.
And I'll bet you they're going to be in and out of here in 90 days, aren't they?
Well, I'm going to. I know there's people listening that got all upset one time when I said, we're going to introduce legislation. You remember that?
Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to encourage some people to introduce legislation. Let's get rid of this.
Yeah.
You know, you can come here for 10 days. Okay?
Well, I mean, you know, what happens to the guy who gets hurt within that 90-day window that these people haven't been forced to pay comp on? I know, Wayne, that comp is a Byzantine and convoluted mess.
I mean,
that's hard to understand, but... Yeah, but it's tough to wrap your mind around some of this stuff. But the fact of the matter is, if you're letting somebody stay here and work people for 90 days as long as they're not West Virginians, who's going to pay their comp if they get hurt in West Virginia?
Well, supposedly they're covered by workers' comp in North Carolina or something. You know what I mean? You know.
Yeah.
It's goofy. Here's the thing. Walmart, you know.
And for those,
I have this strange, terrible belief that if you're a Walmart or a Bob Evans or a Sears or a Roebuck or whoever you are,
yeah,
and you come to a place to build a store that you want the people in that place to come there and spend your money, that you owe a certain... The people that live there ought to benefit from this building and...
Well, yeah, and
is that crazy? I don't know.
Well, in this climate, it probably is crazy, Wayne. It probably is. And for people who might not be familiar and haven't heard me rant on about this, this is the Walmart, of course, that they're building on top of Civil War dead people.
This is the Walmart that they are doing that. But of course, Walmart's going to put up a stone.
Oh, boy. You know, there's a lot of earth moving going on over there, and I can only wonder how much stuff.
Have you been by there?
Every other day or so.
Huh?
Every other day or so.
I don't know what to say. You know, and, I mean, we have to, you know, you have to face reality. I mean, they came in here, how can Fayetteville City Council or you know, county government, how can you fight these people? Especially when, you know,
well,
not a majority, but...
Well, no, time out, Wayne. Fayetteville City Council didn't fight these people. Fayetteville City Council went on hands and knees with the knee pads on, begging these people to come in, even after they were shown time and again that Walmart does not bring any jobs. You wind up with a net... At best, you wind up with a wash. At worst, you wind up with a net loss. And you always
wind up with a loss. There's for every job Walmart creates, you lose one and a half.
Yeah, and the jobs they create,
you lose a half. You know, so you know, you lose a half for every job. And I won't argue that, but you know, there is a certain percent of the population of Fayetteville that thought that Walmart was the most wonderful thing that ever happened.
Well, there's a certain percentage of any population that goes to the opening of a new Walmart the way that people used to go to the christening of a new luxury liner. Never mind that it looks the same as the Walmart 20 miles away.
Right.
That looks the same as the Walmart 20 miles further.
I know.
It's new, it's spiffy, it's shiny, and that evil, demonic, grinning yellow face is there making you feel all good about things. But...
I know, but my only point in this whole thing is that I don't want to, I don't know, you know, I have met and talked to the people in the city council about this. You know, I'm not ready to, I think the majority of them thought that they were doing the best things for the people that they represent.
Yeah, but
because of the way it's presented to them, because of our whole situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if we can all just have Walmart jobs, yeah, I know how they're thinking.
Then everything, right, exactly. And, you know, the price of gas, well, look, you don't have to drive 20 miles anymore.
Right.
You know, it's...
Yeah, you can drive right around the corner and put a mom-and-pop business
on
the street.
You know, and that's why I don't want to condemn any of those people or say they were wrong. What's wrong is the system. You know, as far as I'm concerned, if we had any kind of federal government, Walmart would have been broken up many years ago over, what's the laws? What did they break? Antitrust?
Yeah, antitrust.
Yeah, right. I mean, talk about a monopoly.
Sure, exactly.
You know, worldwide. I mean, AT&T, we were just concerned here, right?
Yeah.
Am I right? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, we broke them up here.
Right. You know, well, Walmart needs to be broken up. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. But
you know,
consider,
I mean, eventually Walmart's going to self-destruct.
But consider
coming soon.
Well, yeah, they are going to self-destruct.
Well,
but the thing is,
take us with them.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is, you're right. You can't do battle with them because they've got the however many billion man strong Chinese Red Army backing them up.
Well, yeah.
That's some big guns.
You know, but I'm going to tell you what, they better be worrying about them people too, because that's where their problems are coming from. You know, they moved from here to Mexico to here to there to da da da. Now they're in China. Guess what? Chinese, economy is growing. The people are becoming smarter. The people want more. The people in China are pretty soon going to tell Walmart, we can't work for these wages anymore.
Yeah, but the beauty of that is, by the time that happens, they'll be able to come back and have Americans manufacture it for 75 cents on the hour.
That's exactly right.
That's the plan.
Walmart has to be dissolved. Or, you know, I mean, come on. This is not good for...
No.
Well,
no, it's not. Yeah. We got to hit it, Wayne.
I'll get on to this anyway.
Well, I wanted to find out what was going on because I saw you on the TV.
Okay. Well, I'm going to continue. Here's what I want.
Okay.
We can settle this real subtle. Walmart hires the four West Virginians back. They get to work until the doors are open. And when you open the door, part of the ceremony is they each get a $2,500 gift certificate to shop in Walmart. What do you think?
Communist. You commie.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay. Take it easy, Wayne.
I forgot you were going to use the C word.
Have a good one.
All right, brother.
Later.
Bye.
Okay, quick break. And more of your phone calls when we come back. The phone number, of course, and there's a line open. 304-658-3333 and 877-443-2366. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On.
In a small cottage lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council. November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer when it's most treatable is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Jazz. Play it, Daddy-O. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid, and let's run straight back to the phones. Somebody we haven't heard from since the reincarnation of the show, our buddy Rick is with us. Hey, Rick, how you doing?
Hey, Bob, how's it going?
Doing pretty good.
I heard a nasty rumor that you were back on air.
It's completely false.
I was hoping so. I'd hate to think that you were back on there just kicking away at these poor guys when they're down.
Yeah, I couldn't stand to do that. Now could I?
You know, I haven't had so much fun since Nixon's impeachment, almost.
Yeah, he's turning into Nixon in front of our very eyes, isn't he?
Isn't that wonderful? Absolutely wonderful. I think now, you know, if we can go ahead and push through and get the Senate in the House, we should have enough time to get him impeached before it's all over with.
Well, Rick, you're down there in Texas. What's it look like for the bug man? I know that's not your neck of the woods, but...
Well, not only he, but Cohen, it looks like he's in trouble, too.
Good.
Looks like they've been playing footsies. I've actually tried to talk to the people here and let me put up a sign, which they're not allowing me to do yet. It has Cohen's face and DeLay's face on it, and it says 2P, same pod.
Oh, very nice. Well, I caught your senator, Kay Bailey Hutchinson.
Yes,
I caught her on the floor of the Senate today, and it was making my lunch want to make a reappearance, because she was on the floor of the Senate talking about how mean we were being
mean
to those poor, benighted, bedraggled oil companies.
I know, and we're completely horrible to these poor people, and I think we need to start getting a little meaner to the Republicans. Problem is, they seem to forget that we're smarter than they are.
Yeah, and you know, the other side of that, we're nicer, too.
We're nicer. So we tend to back off from our dumber brothers.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's time to kick them and kick them hard. I can see with a change of the Senate that we probably will, my hopes are that we can actually get a windfall profit tax put on retro.
Yeah, that doesn't seem so crazy for me.
Mm-hmm. And if they can go retro on it, we should have enough money for a Manhattan Project to try to get away from fossil fuel. Now, I hate to say that. Everybody in my family's in oil.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, the country needs it.
Well, yeah, it's not going to last forever.
No.
And frankly,
How much better could we make the standard of living for the entire country if we could just get off that kick for a little while?
If we could get off that drug, the petroleum drug,
yeah,
we would be able to raise everybody's standard of living up. Plus, we could lead all the other countries that are going to need hydrogen and electrical fuel, other ways of making fuel.
Yeah.
We could beat China to it. We could beat India to it. And at the rate we're going now, we're going to allow them to take over what we already know how to do, just like we did with the Japanese.
Yeah.
So we are putting ourselves further and further behind.
And we're doing it because of a profound desire for short-term gain at the expense of long-term loss.
Which is a perfect example of someone who is immature. Anybody who's immature only looks at what they're getting today.
Well, and that's
about tomorrow.
And just to let folks know, you work in the mental health field. It's also a perfect example of addictive behavior, isn't it?
Absolutely. Let's do anything in the world that we can to get this drug, give up the family, give up everything that we have. Let's get what we need right now to feel good. Now, feeling good is wonderful, but you've got to feel good forever. And the way to do that is to work slowly at things, to not binge on oil and stuff like that. Let's make it so the infrastructure and everything else works for everybody and that everybody is doing well.
You know, that's
the guy across the street is doing better. I do better.
That's a great message, Rick. Do you think we can get hold of it? I mean, can we frame that in such a way that it'll work for an America that's been tormented with we need big rocks with the Ten Commandments on it and those two dudes who just registered for a China pattern or a threat to my marriage? Can we get through to those people?
I think we probably can, but it's going to take about... Now, we can do what we can now, but to be absolutely honest with you, psychologically, it's going to take 10 years to get to the point that the rock in the courthouse and the gay marriage ideal isn't going to matter. It's actually going to mean that we're going to have some people dying of old age. It is a different generation.
Healthy attrition.
I'm sorry, but that's the truth.
Yeah.
Look at your demographics and look at Rush Limbaugh's demographics.
Mm-hmm.
Yours is growing younger. His is growing older.
That at least affords some comfort. A week or so ago, a little over a week ago, that big old amendment passed down there in your neck of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many marriages have been invalidated by that so far because of the squirrely wording?
I've been able to walk down the street, and I haven't seen any homosexuals holding hands, so me and my wife are doing fine now, thanks to this amendment. The only problem is it's already against the law in Texas to have a gay marriage. It always was.
Well, the thing that was amazing about this, the way the thing was drafted, Rick, it looked like it invalidated every marriage. I'm not sure that you and your lovely wife aren't divorced now.
Well, you may have a point there, and if you do, I'm running out of town, and I'll get married again. Bad joke. Hope you didn't hear that.
Yeah, you'll have two wives, and I got two wives, and it's mighty bigamy.
Yeah. They only put that part on the ballot so that they could get the wing nuts in to vote for the big handouts to the oil company, which most of the, or at least two of the amendments were.
Well, I saw
giving away land and stuff.
You've got land.
Yeah.
That's the one thing you're not lacking in. The other thing I noticed that there were a couple of the proponents for that amendment down there, Rick, who are saying that next up, divorce. That they're going to make it harder to get divorced in Texas and bring in that. Are you familiar with the covenant marriage concept?
Yeah, I've heard of those. You know, what they're going to have to realize all across America is that gay marriage is not a threat to marriage. Divorce is.
Right.
And, you know, if we could find some way just to keep families together, you know, like making sure they have plenty of food so one doesn't have to leave so the other one can get on welfare.
Right.
You know, do
take the economic stresses off of working families so that, things like domestic violence and one spouse getting whomped by the other.
You are a very smart man. I want to ask you this one little bit of question.
The sure.
Three things that people come to see me for as a therapist. What are the three main things? Can you name those?
Financial difficulties.
Got it.
Parenting troubles.
Now that's starting to kick up quite a bit more.
Let's see, financial troubles. what we call romping, fooling around on the other spouse, perhaps?
Sex.
Sex, yeah.
You got it? Mm-hmm.
Let's see. We got sex. We got money.
Power and control.
Power and control.
Power and control. Now, what are the three things that the Republicans are trying to control?
The sex, the money.
The power and the control.
Oh, my God.
Told you they're pathological, my friend.
Yeah, they are. And yeah, let's get a plug in real quick. Swing on, if you're listening, Rick is an author. Swing on over to White Rose Society. There's a link to a couple of book purveyors there. Rick's book, The Fox Syndrome, as well as his book, Codependent, What a Bore. And I know you think that's more for professionals, but I enjoyed the heck out of it, and I'm anything but a professional.
I really did enjoy writing that, and I laughed my fanny off of that. But it was fun. Thank you for the plug.
It strikes me as very real. Well, the Fox Syndrome, anybody who has a neighbor who watches it will identify with your test subject.
You know, it really surprised me. The Fox Syndrome was just, you know, a spur-of-the-moment thing, but it really is. Taken off. I was shocked by that. It's amazing.
Well, that's great.
What happened there?
Well, Rick, it's so good to hear from you, and I hope we'll hear from you again soon.
You will, sir. I always enjoy talking to you.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Keep them honest down there. And a break real quick and come back, and we'll take it home in the last half hour, because I saved the odds and ends, and I do mean odd, for the last half hour. You're going to like this. This is Head On.
Troops. We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, in yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and coast guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he a... Nureyev?
Nureyev.
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 Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs?
Sure about that?
Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Now.
Welcome back. I promised you a little bit of fun, odds and ends kind of thing on the way out. Before we go to that, though, I just ran across this. It was sent to me, the link via email, from the New York Times. A gang of House Republican thugs have responded to Congressman John Murtha's remarks today. We went over those in detail earlier, calling for an immediate withdrawal from Iraq. And, of course, it started out with Duncan Hunter. The group included Kay Granger, Jeff Davis, Joe Wilson, Tom Tancredo. This is the guy who wants to build the Great Wall of China across the Mexican border, that genius. David Dreyer. Remember David Dreyer of California? He would be the guy who was just a little too gay to take over for Tom DeLay, because he's part of an incredibly homophobic party. Duncan Hunter said this in response to Congressman Murtha. It's easy to be a flag waver and to be patriotic and to support the troops when you're in the initial attack phase, and it looks like you may have only a 2-week war. Nobody ever expected a 2-week war. We were told, after we were told that we were going to be greeted as liberators and they were going to throw flowers at our feet, and we found out they were fresh out of flowers and we'd have to settle for RPGs instead. You know, yeah, then, and of course, when Dear Leader landed on the aircraft carrier that was just off San Diego and had to be turned around to keep San Diego from showing in the background, and a mission accomplished, May of 2003. They thought it was going to be a short war, I guess. And it was easy for them to be a flag waver. Oh, they're very good at waving the flag. So with that in mind, who was it? Kay Granger came along and quoted Army Major General William Webster, who said in a statement, he's the commander of the 3rd Infantry Division, and he made a statement yesterday that setting a date would mean that 221 soldiers I've lost this year, that their lives would have been lost in vain. You know, as far as I'm concerned, General Webster is right up there with, Colonel Batguano from Dr. Strangelove and General Buck Turgidson. Oh, if they fly, yeah, those boys can get there. Sure thing, Mr. President. He said, setting a date would mean that the 221 soldiers I've lost this year, that their lives would have been lost in vain. What does this freak want? He wants 222 to die in vain, and 223, and 224, and 225. Oh, he doesn't care. Up to 300 can die in vain for General Webster in his air-conditioned compound inside the Green Zone in Baghdad. That man does not deserve command. I've lost 221 soldiers. I want to lose 222. What a freak like Webster doesn't understand is that their lives were lost in vain from the minute that George Bush launched Shock and Awe. And then Hayworth, Arizona. Who's Hayworth? Dadgummit, where's Hayworth? Well, anyway, Congressperson Hayworth has apparently been listening to a little too much of Michael the Savage Wiener, because freedom prevails in the Middle East and we say no to the spread of Islamofascism around the globe. Now, that is the Savage Wiener's statement. Islamofascism. So, you know, you got to wonder if there's any Muslims in... probably not. They probably don't even allow him to live where J.D. Hayworth of Arizona's 5th District is from. And then there's Tom Tancredo. He was in this gang. And Tom Tancredo said, and again, this is the creepy freak who, A, wants to rescind the law that says if you're born in America, you are therefore an American. Wants to rescind that. Next up, the Chinese. Wants to build the Great Wall of China across the U.S. southern border with Mexico. Damn fool.
You know, the Great Wall of China was never breached by an invader. It was a heck of a lot simpler just to bribe the guy with the keys to the gate. Same thing would happen here. Because we can't build a wall across the Gulf of Mexico or the Pacific Ocean either. And since we know from the scandal with the Border Patrol, the guys that were bought off in the cocaine ring that you hardly heard anything about not too long back, we can build all the walls we want, and the gatekeepers can always be bribed. But Tom Tancredo said of continuing the blood fest in the sands of Iraq, continuing to throw our youth into the meat grinder, Tom Tancredo said, "And I am willing to take the risk." Bug spray. Tom Tancredo takes no risks. The biggest risk that Tom Tancredo takes is when he chooses between Bombay and Tanqueray when he orders the first martini of the evening. That's Tom Tancredo's risk. So, they're trying to respond, but it doesn't play. The garbage doesn't play. Now, like I said, I promised you a little bit of fun on the way out. I don't know if there's any Floridians in the audience. But even if there aren't, everyone knows how important the orange crop is. This is from MSNBC. Everybody knows how important the orange crop is to Florida's economy. And they worry about something called citrus canker. And I guess it's a sort of a fungal blight or a fungal rot. And if it gets hold of the orange groves, it can literally wreck the economy of Florida. So they're always on the lookout for A, the appearance of citrus canker, and B, better ways to wipe it out. It's a bacterial disease, not fungal. And it goes, you know, tree to tree by windborne rain, movements of birds, other animals, human activity. And it causes these nasty brown crusty lesions with yellow halos that appear on the surfaces of leaves and on the skin of the fruit. Stunts the fruit's growth, makes the tree unable to photosynthesize. It's something they have to be aware of. You certainly don't want that spreading. Enter Catherine Harris. Have you seen this story? Enter Catherine Harris. You remember Catherine Harris, former Secretary of State of Florida and former chairman of the Bush Florida campaign, who was in charge of the ripoff in 2000. The one who applies Mary Kay with a freaking trowel. You know, the really scary lady with the drawn-on eyebrows who went on to Congress. Turns out, back in 2001, there was a citrus canker problem in Florida. And Catherine Harris ordered a study. Gotta have a study. Got to have some real, live, legitimate science to overcome the citrus canker problem. Catherine Harris, Secretary of State, ordered a study. They wanted to test. There's not much time before this show ends. Go ahead and pour yourself a cocktail or whatever if you haven't already, because this really is. Yeah, this is a real glass clinker for the liberals and the progressives. I mean, the ice is going to chuckle in the glass. Your hand is going to shake so hard. Catherine Harris ordered a study to investigate the efficacy of celestial drops as a remedy for citrus canker. Celestial drops. Sounds like an herb tea, doesn't it?
What is a celestial drop?
Well, be patient, dear. This is called the big buildup.
Oh, okay. Isn't this the same place where they were testing pesticides on children?
Yeah, the Jacksonville, Duval County, sure.
Yeah, and giving the families a video camera and so that they could poison their children.
And a T-shirt to let the poison baby wear. Sure, yeah. Celestial drops. You know, I'm a liberal. I'm a progressive. I drink herb tea. It sounds like a cough drop that would come from Celestial Seasonings, doesn't it? Raspberry Zinger Celestial Drops. Not so lucky. Raspberry Zinger has more active ingredients in it than Celestial Drops. Celestial Drops that were going to save the Florida orange crop. Were proposed as a remedy for citrus canker because of its, quote, improved fractal design and infinite levels of order and high energy and low entropy. Come on up, son, I've got a bottle of Celestial Drops for you. You know this is going to be good. Okay, I got a. What are Celestial Drops?
Raindrops.
No. Celestial Drops are water that has been blessed by according to the tenets of Kabbalah. You know, remember Madonna, Kabbalah? These are Kabbalically blessed bottles of water. And the claim was it would change its molecular structure and imbue it with supernatural healing powers. High energy, low entropy, improved fractal design, infinite levels of order. Celestial Drops. Cures citrus canker. Come on up, son, get your butt. No. You don't even get away from me, kid. You bother me. Catherine Harris spent taxpayer money in Florida because she's a conservative, fiscally responsible Republican on magic water. Now, thank God they have an orange crop in Florida and not so much of a bean crop. Because otherwise there would have been magic beans involved, and there would, you know, there'd be a beanstalk and a giant coming down, and my God, he might land on the orange trees, and then all hell would break loose.
I only have one thing to say to that.
Okay.
Pray louder, right-wingers. Your God cannot hear you.
Oh, he hears all right. He's just giggling. Celestial Drops from Catherine Harris. I mean, there could be a whole series of the old, the Calvin Klein perfume, obsession, whatever, yeah. I was all right until he brought in the Celestial Drops. If Celestial Drops are madness, let me be insane. Republicans were out there peddling water. It ain't even snake oil. I mean, oh my God. Now, the Florida Bureau of Entomology, Nematology, and Plant Pathology said the product is a hoax and not based on any credible known science. I wish to maintain our standing in the scientific community and not allow the developers of Celestial Drops to use our hard-earned credibility to promote their product. See, there's a couple of scientists left in Florida. Should have... Now, look. If you really, 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 really want to market your Celestial Drops, Kansas... Kansas. Stops wheat rot. Celestial Drops. Stops wheat rot. Now the next thing is that whole Kabbalic thing is not going to play in Kansas either, so it's going to have to be, you know, blessed by the Pope or, you know, some bishop or something's going to have to wave a magic wand at it. But Celestial Drops.
I guess this means that we'll have to put on the ruby slippers and start tapping our heels to get back home then.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
You know, watch. It'll probably come out as a perfume that can heal all your ails.
No, it's going to be put to, you know, Kansas hates science. You know, Kansas is the state where they believe that Adam and Eve rode to church on the back of a dinosaur. Kansas is just that crazy. You know, this poor guy from...
Third day, God created the Remington bull action rifle so that man could fight the dinosaurs and the homosexuals.
Amen. Amen, brothers. Amen. That was an actual excerpt
from a Kansas biology textbook. And these are the people who are trying to run a war. I wouldn't let them run a popsicle stand. Celestial drops. Holy water. Well, you know, if it works on a possessed person, it'll probably work on a possessed orange, because that's not a real bacterial infection on those oranges. Those oranges are possessed! Pray for the oranges. Don't kill the bacteria, just pray for them. No, we need improved fractal design. Man, that sounds impressive, doesn't it?
Well, hold on a minute, Bob, because I've got something that goes right along with that.
And when you take all of these things into consideration, plus the quotes of Senator Clinton that I referred to in the year 2002 that I saw on television last night, or the statements by President Clinton when he was President of the United States that I saw on television last night, it seems to me that it's just absolutely wrong and misleading to come up here and say the President of the United States and the Vice President were deceiving the American people.
Jesus, was that Nikita Khrushchev? Did you hear the podium pounding? No, that was Charles Grassley of Iowa saying that because he seen it on TV last night that Bill Clinton really started the war. So, oh, these faith-based people are going to drive me nuts.
It just seemed to fit. Sorry, I had
no,
to do
that's
that.
No, well placed, dear, well placed. So I hope you got a giggle out of Celestial Drops. Maybe I dragged it out too much. I apologize if I did. Thanks to everybody who listened in this evening. Thanks to all the listeners out there at the Tom Hartman chat room. Thanks a million. Hope we'll hear from you some more. Thanks to Ben and Jim and Bruce and Gary and Chris and Wayne and Rick. You guys make this the most enjoyable job in the world. The show tonight, of course, produced by my lovely wife, Agnes. Announced by our good friend, Brian Reznor. The setup was engineered by Randy Kerbway. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org manages the stream and the archives. You can always use a little help if you got a couple of bucks laying around. Make a donation. Joe Vecchio provided our update in the 8:30 hour, bottom of the hour. We certainly appreciate his efforts. CupOfJoe.blogspot.com, I believe, is his address. And of course, the show was brought to you as it is every night by the West Virginia Regional District Council of Carpenters. They, as you know, are building the American dream. And more than anything else, RMR, it's all for you.